different. And I was debating, shall I change the tune that I'm using to start with, or should I stick with what I've got? And I've chose to keep the same tune. And the main reason why I was thinking to choose to change the tune is because I lost my mother last Thursday. So I want to take a moment, not for sympathy, but I just want to honour my mum. And I was one of four girls, so there was girls in my house. And this is what we used to do, so I figured this was the right record to keep. She had a daughter-in-law, she had granddaughters. Thinking, am I gonna get for this 50 minutes? Because I just want to keep crying all the time. It's just not easy. It's like, you know, when life comes to an end, it does give us an opportunity to reflect on a lot. It gives us a chance to reflect on what's real. It gives us a chance to reflect on how we live, how we care, and what we leave behind. And I have to say, my mum died peacefully. She died in her sleep. She never opened her eyes. So there was no visible pain. And for that, we give thanks. And it was just 6 weeks shy of her 90th birthday. So she had a good innings, albeit not the last four or five years when she was then bedbound, when quality of life is taken away. But I do know that what she experienced and what she went through, I don't want to see that again. And I'm hoping by God's grace that you wouldn't want to see or experience it either. And that as I continue to bang on about health, that you will take it with the love and passion and respect for life that I want for all of us to experience. So, you know, regardless, I still have to say that I hope, like me, regardless of how my heart is hurting, that you still remember that you are blessed and divinely favoured, that you are a magnet for miracles. You're still the solution to someone's problem, and you are definitely the answer to someone's prayer. And so this session is going to be, I'm going to play a couple of tunes in it as well. The next record will be just a jazz tune, but it's actually called Keep Holding On, because that's what we have to do. Hold on to the memories, hold on to the time we spent together, hold on to the experiences that we have. And literally, it's not just to hold on to them now, it's to actually hold on to them all the time. You know, I've shared so many times, my mum had Alzheimer's dementia. And, you know, first of all, it robbed her of all of her memories. All of her memories of carrying us and bringing us into this world. And then it robbed her of her voice, so she lost her voice as well. And so she couldn't advocate for herself. Oh, gosh. Life is not just about what happens to us. Please excuse me if I sound like I'm tearful for this show. I don't want to not do a show, but it's not going to be easy. It's not about what just happens to us. It's recognising the habits that we agree to, whether we agree to those habits intentionally or unintentionally, over time, all those habits are just going to become patterns. And those patterns are going to become our life. And I was doing my Bible study this morning and I was just looking at stuff and I was thinking, gosh, Jesus lived 33 years. And that's the life that the Bible's made up, really, of us emulating the life of Jesus. And I'm thinking, you know, by God's grace, I'll be double his age in 3 years. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that man got everything in 3 years. And you don't have to follow Jesus or like the life he lived, but the life is inspiring. The habits, the discipline, you know, just the alignment. He was aligned and he was in purpose. And so many of us, we're just out of alignment. We're out of alignment, we're out of purpose, and we don't actually understand what alignment and purpose is. And it's amazing. Then I'm doing my Bible study as well, and it's like, look at the beasts look at the beasts and they will tell you. Ask the beasts and they will tell you. Look at the birds and they will share their stories. And I'm thinking, you know, they know how to, they're just aligned. Nature is just aligned with, you know, the beasts and the birds and the fish. They're just aligned with their environment and the ecosystem and with nature and its rhythms. And we're not aligned anymore. And that's why we're struggling. And it's really mad. It's really, really mad. And it's really strange. But we have to know that, you know, when I say that, you know, our habits that we agree to. I mean, when we're children, when we're born, our parents are responsible for our health and vitality. They're responsible for our nutrition. They're responsible for the environment that we're brought into and the environment we were brought up in. But when we become adults, we are responsible for the environments that we decide to live in and the patterns and foods and habits that we decide to continue and keep. I mean, you know, as a child of West Indian heritage, we'll have cultural foods that follow our background and our environment. But the foods and the national dishes of Jamaica, where my dad was from, God rest his soul, are totally different from the national dishes of Barbados, where my mum was from, God rest her soul. So they reunited, and we're saying we're adult orphans, it sounds strange. But their foods are different, you know, the rice and peas as a national dish, the kidney beans in Jamaica, that's what they use for their beans, for the rice and peas, but in Barbados, it's gunga peas, it's totally different peas, it's a totally different setup, so we have to recognize that, you know, flying fish was the fish they liked there. Snappers are one for Jamaica. The things are different, you know, even just culturally how they are. But, you know, same, but different. And so, you know, what they call hard food and all of those things are great for the culture and environment and the climate for which they are grown. But the habits and lifestyle that we live over here, it's totally different. So we have to be mindful that obviously the nutrition, the fiber and the foods that our parents grew up with when they also were in countries that are very much agriculture, growing their food, planting, you know, nurturing and harvesting their stuff. It's totally different to the environment that they're living in today, which is why the prevalence of, you know, first world living, we call ourselves first world in the Western world, is creating problems. I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, how can we be a first world country with so much sickness? It doesn't make any sense. But we adopt habits, we adopt patterns, just naturally, you know? Convenience foods, microwave, convenience foods, now the air fryer, things that are supposed to make our life easier actually may appear on the surface to make things easier, but you have to wait 50 years to become 50. And if you want to get a job in senior management, you have to start at the bottom and work your way up. So you can't just walk into a company tomorrow and become the manager, unless, of course, you've been you have that experience and you understand the company and you're walking into that managerial position. Otherwise, you have to work at it, get to understand the company, know its principles, and bring something to the table that no one else is bringing that actually will help to promote and profit the company. They will promote you in the process. So everything is a daily repeat until it becomes something that benefits. And that's what needs to happen with health. And so, I mean, I've got my event on the 16th, which I'm really hoping to still go do in Soho. And I've called it Upstairs, Downstairs. It's looking at the relationship between breast and pelvic health and how it impacts every area of our life. And then when I was sitting this morning and doing my reading and listening to the teachings from the Bible, I just took so many notes and I just kind of turned it. It just made me think this really works for where we find ourselves, right? Where we find ourselves in terms of our health and, you know, our vitality and what we're looking at. Because I know that health comes before everything else. But without it, everything becomes harder to hang on to. And so we've got to be able to understand what is it we're trying to hang on to and why are we trying to hang on to it? What are we being taught? How are we being taught it? And as I said, when we become older, we become responsible for our own health. So as we become responsible for our own health, what is it we are being responsible for? What is it we are holding on to? Where is it that we want to be able to take ourselves to? What is it we want for ourselves? Because we must want to have a good life and we must want to have good health. So we just have to be able to be mindful of what are the patterns that we're inhabiting, what are the habits that we're telling ourselves work for us, when actually they don't really work the way in which we may want them to. So I was writing these different notes and I was thinking to myself that, you know, sickness, fatigue and quiet dysfunction doesn't make me fearful. It just heightens my awareness to the ease and regularity that it shows up. And we've just got to be able to change that around. I don't want to be in that position all the time. But when we watch things on TV, when we follow social media, I feel I'm going off at a tangent here. When we follow social media, everything is about following. But if we understand that following is a key part of a God-inspired purpose and leadership, right? But following is active, intentional, and inspired. So if we think of the word following as active, intentional, inspired, then the question then becomes, what are we following? Why are we following it? And how is it helping us? Because once we understand, it kind of demonstrates the value of understanding, literally, of lifestyle, of movement, and of obedience. Because when you follow something, you're literally obeying it. You're doing what it says. And is it benefiting you? Is it benefiting your health? Is it taking you where you need to be? Because literally, following is what creates the patterns and the rhythms that either allow life and light to flow through us or allow sickness to flow. But following will always lead to trust and connection. And so we have to understand what we are trusting and what we are connecting to. And we may not understand it sometimes, but the thing is, whatever we're following, it has a ripple effect. And that ripple effect actually then goes out into our house and our circle of influence. So once we have a better understanding of what it is we're following, why we're following it, and know that following is active, intentional, and inspired, then we can ask ourselves, what are we activating? Why are we activating it? What's the intention behind it? And what's the inspiration for that intention? Because if it's not going to be our health at this point here now, then we have to decide, because we're walking into something. and we have to decide what it is we're walking into. Let's play a trail.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I do love an acrostic, and for me, one of the ones that I thought about today was like health. What does health really mean? And for me, health is habits expressed as life transpires honestly, or even as life transpires here, or if you change your habits, as life transpires holistically, but literally, H-E-A-L-T-H spells habits expressed as life transpires or transforms. It can be habitually as well, right? Again, you just got to decide. But literally, health isn't random. It is a daily expression of repeated patterns. That's all it is. And sometimes those patterns are subtle, and sometimes they're not. Now, for me, I moved out of my mum's house about 43 years ago. And I think, you know, when we're younger, we just, you know, we want to get out. I want to live on my own. We want to have our own experiences. We don't want to follow the rules and regulations that they clash with our social calendar. Because let's be honest, it's like work and social calendar, you know. Where am I going to fit in my further education or my work and my boyfriend and my social calendar? And so we want to live by our own rules. But sometimes we can move away from our parents and we go and visit them, but we don't really pay attention. This is what's been alighted for me, and I'll share this a bit later on in the show. But for me, I think, you know, I'm not saying that my mum was depressed, but I think in some ways her life was depressed. And what I mean by that is like when your six children start to move away, your life becomes where you are smaller and smaller, and the further your children move away, that's how it can become depressed, as opposed to I'm depressed, if that makes sense. So it's a slow, eyes wide open drift that, you know, you pop in and you pop out, you pop in and you pop out, because right now you're just creating your own life, you're just doing your own thing. If you've had your children young, you've created your own ecosystem, so you're popping in and out, mum can you do this, mum can you do that, and you've gone about your business, so you're not really paying attention. And so that's what can happen. And I think it's just a little drift. It's like a bit of isolation, a bit of comfort eating. You know, my mum went for a walk every single day. So, you know, one of the lines that I'm using in the eulogy is our, you know, I just said it to my brothers and sisters and they love it, is our mother, the weightlifter. Because I've always told my clients that your children are your children first and then they're a weight second. They're ounces or pounds when they're born. And then within 12 weeks or so, they're these big, like some of them can be like a stone and a bit. Suddenly they're just becoming, and each time they're getting older, they're two and three, it's like, oh, they're a bit too heavy to pick you up now. They're heavier. So your children first and a weight second. Your shopping is your shopping first and it's weights second. You know, go shopping and buy yourself a few litres of water, buy a bag of potatoes, buy a bag of rice, buy those big things and suddenly see how your shopping bag, you're walking like, oh God, it's pulling me down on one side and you've got to evenly distribute the bag so that you're weightlifting. How far have you got to walk home? Are you walking 15 minutes? How are you walking? It's going to affect your posture. Your core has to be switched on. You have to protect the spine, your gait and movement ability. So they're weight second. But you may spend more time now, do a bit of shopping. You're not buying as much. You're not weightlifting. Even though you're still lifting, you're not doing as much weightlifting. So your movement and your weights have changed. You may have less engagement. My mum didn't live in the same place where her sisters were. So she didn't travel as much and she never drove. So, you know, so you spend more time now in front of the TV. And you're more exposed to, you know, they watch the news. They watch the news at lunchtime. They watch the news at 6 o'clock. Watch the news at 10 o'clock. So you're more exposed to negative news. And these are things that we could just take for granted. But over time, your brain starts to change. And when your brain starts to change, your neural pathways adapt. And so what we repeat, literally, we reinforce. But we don't realize that our habits expressed as life transforms, transpires here, today, now, become the patterns that kind of dictate the way life will be later on. And so, health is shaped daily. But small changes create powerful outcomes. Small changes create powerful outcomes. You think about it again, as I said before, I put this tune on, that's Keep Holding On. Is that health is shaped daily, and small changes create powerful outcomes. And over time, our habits, for many of us, become our road to illness. So it's like from habits to illness. We kind of, you know, when we have poor nutritional choices, lack of movement, etc. Paul Check calls it stinking thinking. When we're just surrounded by negative news coming at us all the time, reading the papers doesn't really have anything in it that's my mum used to buy papers, you know, The Sun and The Mirror. And these habits lead to metabolic dysfunction. So the body just stops metabolizing the foods that we take in properly. And that metabolic dysfunction then becomes a form of insulin resistance. And then body's not working properly. We go to the doctor and lo and behold, we're told we have something like type 2 diabetes. And then from there, further complications can arise, because what happens is with type 2 diabetes, which is more most definitely a nutrition and lifestyle induced dysfunction. I won't call it, the body's at dis-ease. The body's just out of sync, basically. And what happens is further complications can arise. But when we're given medication, when we've been told, my mum was on this medication for way over 20 years. You're given medication to help you neutralize the sugars and to balance your insulin. But you're not given medication to help you get better. You're given it so you can maintain where you are. And I think that's the difference. You can't heal from synthetics, but we outsource our health. And once the doctor says, you need to take this for the rest of your life, we don't ask questions. We're not asking questions. When I was doing all my study, like I said this morning, and everything, you know, in the Bible, I'm just thinking, it's not, you know, Jesus asked the right questions. He was in alignment with his purpose, and he knew who he was, his identity and alignment, and everything was there. A lot of the times we're not. It comes then a question of, it's not that, you know, we don't understand our health. We just don't ask the right questions. You know, if we rely on what someone else tells us about ourselves, but we don't then question what we're being told, why we're being told, or if there is another way. Because people use the statement, there's more than one way to skin a cat. But actually, the true statement is without having to be so cruel, you'd have to skin a cat, but there's more than one way to cook chicken. There's more than one way to cook anything, right? So what is correct? What is right? There's more than one way to do things. We just need to understand that, you know, when it comes to sickness, what we should be doing is to find out, you know, what is it in our life that brought us to this point where the body is saying it can't do it on its own. And if we don't, you know, I give thanks because my mum was never to a point where she lost her sight. She never lost her limbs, you know, because the beautiful thing was she went out every day. She walked all the time and she moved around. And we did spend time laughing and joking with her. And my dad died 19 and a half years ago, so almost 19 and a half years ago. So, you know, we really did come back and look after her more, but we still came in a few hours and still went about our business. But what happens is one of the complications that can arise is Alzheimer's dementia. They do see it as diabetes type 3, and that's one of the issues that can arise. And so we don't just see, as my mum died from end-stage dementia, we don't just see a lifestyle-induced disease. We now start to see a loss of memory, a loss of identity. My mum, in the end, lost her voice as well, so she was non-verbal. So there's no, she can't advocate for herself. The complete loss of independence. This wonderful woman, she has lost everything. Like, this is the person that you love. She's still there. But she's not. My son said, he said his grandma died 6 years ago. And she stopped recognising him. It's not easy. Everything is, it's like your body's been robbed. I mean, I've been burgled twice. But it's like sickness. This sickness is like a burglar that just won't stop. It just keeps taking and taking. Takes all your memories, takes, I've shared about giving birth to my son and everything. I couldn't think of anything worse than losing that memory. There's so many memories I would hate to lose. I could play another song.
In the crowd, in the club, at the bar, yeah, what's up? I saw you cross the room.
So sorry. Yesterday, I said it wasn't going to be easy today. But yeah. I think the thing for me is that the memory, you know, the Bible says the memory of the righteous is a blessing. And my mum was righteous. And even as memory faded, her essence did not. And so that's the first thing that it taught me. It taught me that what we have, we want to hold on to. And I mean, not the material things, not the things that are outside of us, what's in our mind. But what we want to make sure is that we have a healthy mind. So we're holding on to things that make us happy. Because, you know, I've shared those lines before for so many people, that death leaves a void that no one can fill. But love leaves memories that no one can steal. So that's such a powerful statement, but you know, whilst I've said it, I also know, you know, as I said before, I put that record on, you know, it's like being robbed. It's like having a burglar in your head and just constantly robbing you of the things that really matter and the things that count the most. We can't afford to allow ourselves to lose our memory. And that's one of the things that it's taught me, you know, understanding particular movements that will help to keep the left and right side of the brain healthy, understanding the foods that feed the brain, understanding how to feed the brain, and understanding what I'm feeding my brain with, you know, what I listen to, who I surround myself with, the environment I'm around, they all influence the way in which my mind works. Understanding that the hippocampus is like the horseshoe part of the brain that stores the memories, but the amygdala, that's the bit that attaches an emotion to every experience. So making sure my head is full of emotions that uplift me and will keep the brain, you know, active and vital and vibrant is important. But knowing that dehydration of the brain, because Alzheimer's, dementia is literally dehydration of the brain, cannot afford to allow my brain cells to keep dying. And so, you know, nutrition, sunlight, nutrition, hydration, forgiveness is a massive one. You know, gratitude, all the steps that She Comes First has, we, you know, understand self-love, self-care, self-awareness, hormonal harmony, emotions, connections. Connections is a big one. You need to know what you're connecting to. Oxygen, that's your breath. Movements that matter. Exercise. Sleep. All of those things are so, so, so important. You know, food, intimate health, rehydration, sunlight, and spirituality, because we're mind, body, spirit. And our thoughts are massive. That's what this has reinforced for me. That's one of the few things that's reinforced. Yeah. Another thing that is reinforced for me is attention. As I mentioned earlier on, attention is everything. Because awareness allows us to notice, it allows us to adjust, it allows us to course correct. But without awareness, patterns continue unchecked. So I said, you know, we came in, we came out. I've come in, Mum, I can't stop, got this to do, got that to do, but I leave my washing, blah, 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 and I'm in and I'm out. Am I paying attention whilst I'm in and I'm out? That's the thing. Awareness allowed me to notice. It was a good few years ago when I noticed before lockdown, before she, you know, she was still active and moving around, that I noticed that, you know, I got her tablets out for her once to take, and I was like, Mum, you're taking 28 tablets a day. I didn't realise they had her on so many tablets, and we reduced them right down to 2 metformin and glyphosate. We reduced it right down. Imagine 28 tablets. They had my mum on 28 tablets, and she just conformed. That cocktail of synthetics plays a massive part in where she found herself. And even when she went in for an infection during lockdown in 21, that's the last time she walked. But on her hospital notes, it says patient keeps trying to get out of bed, but they would not tell us what they gave her. But whatever they gave her, she never walked again. And she walked every single day. So attention is everything, you know. And being aware of subtle changes in patterns and not just brushing them off. At first, sometimes we can just go, you know, forgetfulness, you know, it's no big deal. When I was, obviously I didn't realise when I was going through menopause, perimenopause, in my late 40s, and I'd always be ready to walk out the house and I'd like, where's my keys? Where's my phone? So my mum would go, where's my phone? Where's my keys? Where's my phone? Where's my keys? You forget your head if it wasn't screwed on properly. You know, we make jokes about it, but those little things are important.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Third thing for me that was reinforced for me is love. Love is not just a feeling, it is a decision. In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, like, I think there's 17 different actions that love is. But love is not just a feeling, it is a series of decisions. It's decisions that we repeat daily, and we follow them through regardless. And I can say with certainty, that love conquers all. And all six of us, we loved my mum. We really did. We loved her with an everlasting love. And, you know, we cared for her. You know, it was, well, even the ambulance people were just shocked. You know, even when they came in the day before she died, they're touching her skin, they're pulling it, and they're like, my goodness gracious me, this skin is soft and supple and, you know, yeah. Love will allow you to continue through the tears, through the heartache. It will allow you to keep being there and keep showing up regardless. And one of the things, another thing it taught me as well, was organization and care. Being cared for is not simple. It has to be structured, it has to be detailed, and it's definitely demanding. My sister Lorna, she created a system that was exceptional. We had a full yearly rota. It was fairness across all four of us girls. It was color-coded, so, you know, we each had one day in the week. I had Tuesday, Lorna had Wednesday, Beverly had Thursday, Brenda had Friday. So that would always leave Mondays and Saturday, Sunday. So it was coordinated that we each had one Monday, four Mondays in a week, in a month. We each had one long weekend. And so the colour code made it so easy. You just looked for your colour. You knew your colour. Yellow's my favourite colour. So everything bright yellow, I just knew it was mine. Something might come up. Oh, we got this weekend. I'm like, that's the weekend at my mum's. So you know where you're at. Flexibility was always built in. So you could obviously change and ask for swaps and cover as it went on. Daily tracking sheets. You know, the daily tracking sheets is what shocked the hospital the day before she died. When the ambulances, when they came in, they're like, what are you writing? When they looked at that, they're like, we had lever arch files full of it. Every day, each of us monitored sleep, pain, hydration, nutrition, engagement, physical output. We monitored general observation. We monitored what medications or products were running low. So we were always on it. But what I will say to you is this. Being cared for is expensive, not just financially, but emotionally, physically, and logistically. It's expensive. So maintaining your health is far less costly. You have to remember that if you have whatever you've got in savings, that's what's going to cost you to look after, to be looked after. You might think the cost of putting your parent into a home is extortionate, but you got to think what it costs to run that home and to look after all the other people in that home. How much attention will that parent of yours or that sibling or person that you have put into care be cared for? How much attention will they receive versus what you will give? And when you give it at home, how much will it cost you? How much will it pull you from what you have planned? Mum had palliative care from about 21, 22 until 21 until 24, because they kept thinking she's going, and then they took it away. And the last time she went into hospital at the beginning of April, they were just reintroducing it. In fact, the palliative nurse turned up 5 minutes after Mum stopped breathing. So it becomes expensive. They're only giving you one or two nappies for the day. I'm just giving you this information because many people don't understand it. In the homes, they're still getting one or two nappies for the day. So if your parent is hydrating well, drinking well, we measured nappy changes because it allowed us to know about the detoxification systems. I told my brothers and sisters, we need to make sure that, you know, that she's defecating, that she's urinating, so we know that the liver is working well, that the colon is working well, the intestinal tract is flushing well. Peristalsis is still happening because she's not moving, but we want movement. We want bowel movement, but she's not moving. We want to know that she's urinating, so we know the kidneys are still flushing because the kidneys and the heart work in concert with each other. So we need to know these things. So we had this all noted down. Engagement level, pain level, blood sugar, you know, sleep level. We needed to know what was going on. Hydration, water, other foods. We had it all noted down. I think my sister should actually franchise this, what the way she put it together. It was amazing. And so for me, maintaining your health is far less costly. It's the most expensive person it is for you, because that's the most, you know, you're the biggest asset you have is your memories. your health is your biggest asset. Within that health, thoughts begin your health. And of course, your thoughts create your memories. So that's, you know, an asset within an asset. You lose that, then you start to lose your identity. You start to lose your independence. And it depends on what I said. Love is costly. And you have to be prepared to love that way. And if you don't have that patience, it's going to be very hard. So I would really say to you, take care of your health now so that others don't have to carry it later, because it's really, really hard. I am going to run my event on the 16th, and I am going to be looking at those things that really cost us as females. So you can find it on at Pelvic Secrets on TikTok and TikTok and Instagram, Jenny Russell on LinkedIn and Facebook, and Pelvic Floor Secrets. I'm going to finish with the trail, but I just want to say that my mum did not leave this world as the same vibrant, vivacious woman that she once was, but she lived well, and that's what matters, you know. And for me, as I said, it's reinforced something really deeply that I want to end with, and that is, as the woman I am now, strong, present, aware, not dependent on layers of medication. And I don't want to ever be dependent on layers of medication, because I know that healing does not begin with synthetics, and medication is synthetic. It begins with sunlight, it begins with nutrition, it begins with hydration, it begins with movement, it begins with forgiveness, it begins with gratitude. I mentioned that. And for me, like I said, forgiveness is the one that most people often avoid. But forgiveness underpins and is a foundation tool for sickness. And we have to understand, unforgiveness is a foundation tool of sickness. And so when I look at She Comes First, when I know that all aspects of health are honoured, I know that life will flow better. So today, no fear, no pressure, just a gentle invitation for you just to pay attention to your habits, because they are quietly writing your future. And I want you to know that you can write a future that is really beautiful. The body will follow the habits you repeat. Attention is always the beginning of change. Love is a decision that's lived daily. Love is a decision even lived daily. And maintaining health is actually far cheaper than managing decline. So, Mum, I love you. I miss you. And I've got no parents. But I've got three sisters, two brothers, two sons, two nieces. I've got four sisters, my sister-in-law, sorry. I have four sisters. And then I have the wider range. I have my cycling group. I have my church family. I have my tennis group. I have support all around me, so I give God thanks. So whatever you're doing in health and happiness, until next week, stay blessed, stay safe.